This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Tom Erickson of the National Republican Congressional Committee. That's the group committed to making sure as many Republicans as possible get elected to the House of Representatives this year. One of their targets was a longtime Democratic member of the House, David Obie of Wisconsin, who's been in Congress for more than 40 years. But he will not be on the ballot this year, announcing on Wednesday that he will not be seeking re-election. And Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
How surprised were you by this? Seems like Democrats were caught off guard by this quite a bit today.
You know, we had heard rumblings of this a few weeks ago, but, it was a pleasant surprise to come to work today and find this out.
He was already in a bit of trouble, expecting one of the most competitive campaigns he's had in quite a while. Tell us a little bit about the district and why he was on the ropes a bit.
Well, the district is northwest Wisconsin. It's bordered by Lake Superior, and it contains Wisconsin's North Woods. It's a district that has voted Democrat in the past, but it is not afraid to vote Republican. He was facing a strong challenge from Sean Duffy, who's a young district attorney from the area. He is a former lumberjack competitor, those guys that chop down the trees and run up the trees and all that stuff. But he also is famous for being on the MTV show Real World. And he was putting together a strong grassroots campaign. And that is really what seemed to scare Dave Obie out of the race.
In terms of Obie's record, obviously he's been chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and that means he's probably brought quite a bit of bacon back to the district. What else is he known for?
Well, he was the architect of this failed stimulus package, and that is the issue that got Sean Duffy into the race in the first place. He entered this race in July, back when Democrats were riding high in the polls, and he said, look, enough is enough. I've got a young family, but what's going on in Washington is just unacceptable. So he jumped in the race to run against the Democratic excess with all their pork and the failed stimulus package. And, he kept hammering away at his message back home while Obie was sitting in his ivory tower in D.C. And eventually that message started resonating with the voters. And as a result, Dave Obie is no longer running for re-election.
I was reading today that Obama won the district relatively comfortably, but John Kerry barely beat President Bush there. So it does have the tendency to be a competitive district. Democrats claim they have a deep bench there, but how do you handicap the race right now?
You know, if Sean Duffy was able to take down one of the most powerful House Democrats in the last generation, I don't see what hope any other Democrat has in this district.
What does this suggest to you, Tom, about where the trend is nationwide? We've seen a lot of retirements, frankly, on both sides of the aisle. Does this suggest anything in terms of the Democratic Party attitude right now, or is this just the story of David Obie?
Well, I think this signifies that the Democratic base and members of Congress are demoralized right now. They've had this supermajority, but they've been enacting their policies, and the American people haven't liked what they've been doing. And as a result, you've had some very powerful Democrats announce they won't be running for re-election. Meanwhile, you have Republicans who have retired, but these are in safe Republican seats. The Democrats who are retiring are in swing districts, and ones like this that there's a path to victory for Republicans, but a district that has been held by them for 40 years straight. And I think that shows that the Democrats are the party that are on the ropes. And as a result of retirements like this, we are every day we get closer to taking back the House from Nancy Pelosi.
There have been so many different estimates. On the low end, it's about 17 potential pickup seats. Some say right around 40, which is what you need to do. Others say it's as high as 100 seats in play. As you look at the field right now, and granted, we're 6 months away from Election Day, but what's your sense on the realistic number of seats you might be able to win here?
I don't like to put a number on it, but with everything that's been going on, the fantastic candidates we have out there, in every single state, I think we're very well positioned to be able to send Nancy Pelosi back to San Francisco this fall.
Talk a little bit about the crop of candidates. You said you got a fantastic group, and I've heard that from other Republicans as well. You're very enthused about that. How can you tell at this point how strong your candidates are?
Fundraising is one. The ability to scare very senior members out of their races is another. But you're seeing these candidates who are holding town halls on the health care bill because their own members of Congress refuse to do so. They're having packed VFWs and American Legions and community centers because they're willing to listen to their would-be constituents, while the Democrats are sitting in Washington having fundraisers with their friends on Wall Street. And as a result, these candidates have made a great deal of progress with with the constituents, who the people that they hopefully and will soon represent.
You mentioned the story of Sean Duffy, somebody who didn't necessarily want to run for office but felt that he had to given what was happening in Washington. Is that a pretty familiar story from what you're hearing from candidates around the country?
You know, it is. We're seeing a lot of people who have said, you know, enough is enough. You know, somebody has to step up and stop this. And, you know, I guess I'll do it because they're just so sick of the stimulus package, the government takeover of healthcare, you know, just dozens of other government programs. Cap and trade is another. And as a result of these programs, you know, you're having these reluctant heroes jump into the races.
You mentioned a couple of the major issues, obviously, stimulus and healthcare. We've got some other issues, obviously, coming down the pike. Certainly financial reform, perhaps either energy, immigration, or both before we get to election day. How do you expect those debates to factor into all this?
You know, I don't think the Democrats will be picking up immigration this year just based on, you know, all the other problems. I think there's an article in Politico today about how Democrats are worried. They've already had a vote for the cap and trade and the government takeover of health care. They're certainly not going to want to take up any more divisive issues. You know, I would, you know, I think it's been a slow week in Congress. I think the only thing that's happened other than Dave Obey's retirement is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the laser. If I had to guess, that's going to be about as what happens here on out.
Well, that might be some welcome relief to folks who are upset about
what's
been happening there. Tom, we'll look forward to Wisconsin 7, going to be competitive for the first time in a while. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg.
Tom Erickson of the National Republican Congressional Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.